I don't know if you struggle kind of sometimes. I know people think I'm this Mr., you know, confident kind of guy, and everybody, oh, you can't relate to all us introverts and stuff like that. But there's a statement that God gave to me several years ago. It goes like this. We're all about this far from cracking up. Anybody ever feel like that way? Just feel like you're about that far from cracking up. You know, and I think there are times, too, when we just, I think at the core of who we are, we want to matter. And I think sometimes in our life, that weighs on us more than anything else. Do I really matter? Do I make a difference? Why am I here, you know? And it doesn't matter whether you're an extrovert or an introvert, whether you're a people person or a task-oriented person. I think we all struggle in this issue of do we matter. And one of the things that excites me about this series that we've been looking at is this aspect that all of us matter greatly in the body of Christ. And I want to share with you some things. I'm sure you've heard them before. I'm sure you're familiar with them. It's one of those, and these sometimes are the more difficult passages to preach because we're so familiar with them. But I think it's important for us to understand. And we're about to wind down this series. Next week we'll finish this series on recalculating church. But what I want us to grab hold of today specifically is the fact of where's my place in this thing called church. Where is it? We've talked a lot about kind of big picture aspects of church. We've talked a lot about the uniqueness of the church and all of that. And now I want to bring it down to more of a personal issue that you and I can all grab hold of. And so if you got a Bible, you want to turn to 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to be there. But let me kind of give you just a background before we jump into that. The Holy Spirit, which we looked at Wednesday night, we'll be looking at again this Wednesday night. I'd love for you to come out and hear some of the truths that we're looking at. But when you think about it, if you're here today and you're a Christ follower, let this grab hold of you. If you are a Christ follower today, that is that you are one who have repented of your sins. The Holy Spirit, the presence of God has indwelled your life. Now, I say that slow and for emphasis because I think sometimes we go, yeah. But please don't go, yeah. Understand, the God who created the universe, the God who appointed the exact times and places in which you and I should live, the God who purchased your salvation, wooed you with His grace, caused and granted you repentance so that you would see your need for Him. At the moment that you confessed your sin to God and acknowledged that He is who He says He is and you are who you acknowledge yourself to be, a sinner, the most amazing thing that ever could have happened to a human being takes place. The Holy Spirit takes up residence in your life. Just let that sink in. Because I think we have no value, why would God have wasted that aspect of our life to say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put the Spirit of the living God inside of you. And so you're here today, and you're not who you were. You're not who you were born. You're not all the mistakes of your past or of your present or of your future. But you are a child of the King who is indwelled by the Spirit of the living God, so that you yourself are a temple, of a dwelling place for a holy God. Now, I don't know how to, I really struggled this week with how do we grab hold of this truth? Because it's so comfortable to me and so familiar, and I think it is to a lot of us who grew up in church, that is something that you and I will, I think, spend our days not comprehending. But the reality is, it was the Holy Spirit that took the church and fused it together. And this is what I want us to grab a hold of. You and I, the reason why we say we're brothers and sisters in Christ is because we share the same Spirit. That's why we're brothers and sisters in Christ. It has nothing to do with church affiliation. It has nothing to do with geography. It has everything to do with the fact that you and I, we were adopted into this thing called the family of God. And what fuses us, just like what fuses me and Jackson and me and my family, is this lineage, either through a covenant of marriage or through the bloodline of the parents. There's this thing you can't get away from. Jackson will always be my son. He can try hard, and I know many days he's wishing he wasn't, but he will always be my son. Why? Because my blood runs through his veins. Tammy's my wife because we made a vow and a commitment that until death do us part, we're there. In the body of Christ, there are two things that come together. There is the covenant that God has made toward you and me. Then it was a blood covenant. So a part of that is that the blood of Christ now flows through us in that metaphorical sense. And then we have been united by the Spirit of the living God. I know this is kind of heavy talking, but I want us to grab hold of this truth that the church, the uniqueness of the church is the fact that we have a commonality because of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. It is one of the things that draws unsaved men to this place. And it is what makes us brothers and sisters. Now, when you got the Holy Spirit, there were several things that took place. One is that he has a commitment. His commitment is twofold: to complete in you the work that God has called you to. So it is the Holy Spirit who's in the process of making you holy. When we read the passage in Hebrews where he has declared you holy while he's making you so, it is the Holy Spirit that's doing that. And so what you're feeling as you go through your day and you sin, or you make a mistake where you know there's some things that we might not call it sin, but there's an aspect of life that's unholy, and you feel that guilt about it, that's the Spirit of living God uniting with you, saying, come on, man, you're better than that. That's not who you are. Come on, stop that. That's the Spirit of living God that's doing that. Because he has one goal, and that is to bring holiness. He is called the Holy Spirit because that's his job, to promote holiness in your life, to help us shed the old man and to put on the new man. And this is what God's called us to do. And so this is the role of the Holy Spirit. He convicts us of sin, and he matures us. But he also loves to work through us. And this is where, when I ask you the question, do you feel like you matter? This is where I want you to understand the power of why you can never say those words again. Because the God of all creation has set up shop and done two things in your life, and we're going to see them both today. First thing he's done is he has taken a piece of his character and his attributes, and he has distributed them into you so that you have value in the body of Christ, because only through you will that, in your unique personality, will that gift that God has for us come through you. The other thing that he's done is he's put his love into you so that you can be an amazing force of love no matter where you go. Doesn't matter how people respond to you. Doesn't matter how hostile the environment. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts through the Spirit that he's given to us. And so the whole goal is that we become just loving people, just everywhere we go. Now, let's look at the Word, jump into it, and kind of talk through this. But I wanted to set it up like that as we go through this. Now, here's what he says. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed about these things. Now, the Corinthian church was all about these spiritual gifts, and there was all kind of junk going on, and Paul wanted to set the record straight. And so he says now about these spiritual gifts, I want to make sure you're clear on some things. And then he says this, verse 4, he says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Listen to what he's saying here. You're here today. You're a part of this local body. And God says, listen, here's what I've done. I have given you a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Every one of you in this room did not get overlooked in the passing out of this power of the Spirit that he wanted to use to build his church up. He says it's not for you. He says it's for the common good. God has given to you a supernatural ability. I'm not talking about talent. Kevin's got a great talent of being able to play the keyboard. I'm not talking about a talent. I'm talking about a gift that the Spirit of living God has given to you. Now, that one ought to excite you. And two, help you understand the value of what it means to be a contributing factor in the body of Christ. Because there are going to be times when you're going to need God. I think it was Charles Swindoll who coined this phrase. Sometimes we just need God with skin on. You know what I mean? We know God loves us. We know this. We know all those things. But occasionally, there comes those times when, you know, I really want I want God to love me with somebody with skin on. Now, I need somebody to hug me. I need somebody to speak truth into me. I need somebody to encourage me. I need somebody to just help me out here. Just come serve and help me do some things. And this is what he's saying. So he says this. They're all different kind of gifts. But he says, to each one of us, a manifestation of the Spirit has been given for the common good. Now he begins to list them. And I just want us to walk through this passage today and look at some of these things. He says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. How many times have you just needed a word? Just some help. Ever gotten to that place where you throw your hands up and go, God, I don't understand anything. I am lost. I don't even know where to go. Just could you do something? And then you get on the internet maybe, or you turn on the radio on your way to work or whatever, and you're riding down the road, or you're looking at your computer, or maybe you opened up that devotional that you read, and you go, how does this happen? How did it happen? I'm asking God for some help, and on the radio, they're talking about, and it may not even be one of those Christian radio stations, it's just somebody's talking, and you go, that's exactly what I needed to hear. Or you're listening to a song, and all of a sudden, one phrase out of a song that you've sung 1,000 times, it hits you in the head, and you go, wow, I needed that. Or you read that little devotion, or you read that story that somebody put up on the internet, or you, however it goes for you, but how many times has it happened to you? You know what that is? That's God being God through people with skin on. And it matters to you and to me that we each play our role. The fear of the church is that we think there are only 2 or 3 gifts. You know, there's the guy who speaks and the people who serve and, you know, a few little gifts. The reality is, and the Bible's going to show, that every gift is very vital and very necessary. And I want you to grab hold of this as well. It has nothing to do with age. It has nothing to do with spiritual maturity. It has everything to do with repentance. So the youngest in this room who have repented have this manifestation of the Spirit in them too. So that it's not fair to say that the youth are the church of tomorrow. The youth are the church of today. Does that make sense to you? How many times have you learned something through a child that maybe you didn't learn any other way? I have a lot of grandkids. Cole. Far and away, I guess because it's his age and close proximity to me, he says some strange things. And occasionally he'll say some stuff, and I'll look at him and I'll think, how does he get that kind of God talk? It's got to be because he's got a great grandfather. That's the only thing I can attribute it to, you know what I'm saying? But you hear him say some things, and you go, I'm going to go write that down real quick. Hang right there. You know, some of what Cole will say speaks and it preaches. He's got a little gift of communication. Eli, on the other hand, has a gift of communication in a different realm. But he also has these gifts. These little guys are running around with the Spirit of the living God in them, and they are slinging their gift, and they don't even know it. They don't even know it. It's where you and I get so busy in our life that we fail to see that God could use us. I hope this is speaking to you today, because it's powerful what he's speaking of. He says this, to one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith. How many times have you just thought, I give up, I'm done, I'm just tired, I give up? And somebody comes along and they put their arm around you and they begin their faith. I say this all the time. Sometimes I have to borrow from the faith of others because mine's not quite as large as I'd like for it to be. It's amazing how somebody can come in and they can just begin to speak, and it's words of life and it's truth, and there's a faith about them. And all of a sudden you go, yeah. What's wrong? Yeah, absolutely. And you can feel the energy of the Spirit of God beginning to come up in us because somebody who had faith just spoke simple little words, and it connected with us, and it transformed our life. And he says this, to another, gifts of healing. Now, it's interesting, Because we always talk about the gift of healing, and I don't want to get off into that today, but you understand in the original language, it's a plurality of healing. There are various types of healings, gifts of healing. And so there are people that will come into our life who can bring healing into us. Some of us need some emotional healing, and there are people that God has gifted with the ability to just heal our emotion. Some of it is with the mind, isn't it? It's just a confuse. There's amazing how people have the gift of healing to be able to come in and just help that mind begin to be calm and begin to be resolute and begin to make sense. And then there are people that God will bring into our life who provide physical healing for us, because there are times when that's what we need, right? And there are people who can come in and they can lay hands and they can pray and they can see God as He begins to heal us. These are the gifts that the Spirit offers us. He goes on, He says, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. And so He begins to speak in terms of some of these gifts that He's given to us. And then He says, all of these are the one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each as He has determined. Then He goes on and talks about the body of Christ, and I don't want to get into that whole thing at this point. But I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12, because He speaks kind of the same way. He lists a few different of these gifts. Romans chapter 12, He says this. And here, let's tie this in, because this, before He gets to the gifts, He speaks of Romans 12, 1. He says this, therefore, my brother, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Here's what He's saying. God expects you to take, He expects me, Randy Pardue, to present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable because of the blood of Christ and because of my role of putting off the old man. He says, this is your spiritual act of worship. This is how you and I worship. It's not just a song. It's a presenting of my body and saying, here I am. Everything about me, God, it's yours. This is what it means to worship God. And then He says this, and don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Every time I hit this passage, I have to say this. It is not a choice that we make to conform to the world. This is not an active participle in the original language. It's a passive. It's a middle passive. What that means, not to bore you with the Greek, but it means this. It's something that acts upon you. It's not something you intentionally choose to do. None of us really choose, as believers, choose to conform to the world. It's what happens when we quit pursuing Christ. And the best picture I can give to you is if you've ever been in a canoe and you've ever tried to paddle upstream and you're fighting and you're moving through one rock and you're getting around another, you can go upstream because we are living upstream. We're upstream people in a downstream world. That's what it means. We're not conforming to the world. But at times we put that paddle in the boat because we're tired. What happens the minute you do that? You're not going in the same direction you wanted to go. The current itself passively is pulling you back down that stream so that you've lost ground. You're not where you were. And this is what He says here when He speaks this. Don't be conformed any longer to the things of this world. Don't allow the world to squeeze you into its mold. But He said, I want you to be made new in the attitude of your mind, or by the renewing of your mind, rather. And then He says this, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test what is good and perfect. Now, from that point, here's what He's saying. Once you and I have presented our bodies a living sacrifice to God, the gifts begin to be able to be used in us. And so He lists a series of gifts, and I want to give them to you now. He says this, for by grace given to me, I say every one of you, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Rather, think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given to you. Just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the other. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, that is to speak forth truth, let him do so in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do so cheerfully. If you find in that passage and you put those two together, there's an abundance of gifts that should be operating in this room. Some of you have the innate ability through the Spirit to encourage in a way that no one else can encourage. Do you understand? Somebody in this room has that. Somebody in this room has the ability to lead a group of people to a good place, to a place where people need to go. They know how to rally the troops, so to speak, and encourage people to move in a certain way. Some people have the ability to serve others in such a way that people couldn't accomplish where they get were it not for the fact that these people were just behind the scenes kind of serving. And I don't mean to speak in terms of here in the church through the physical aspects, but, you know, like what Scott's doing back there. Nobody really pays attention to the sound guy until something bad happens, right, Scott? But the fact is that he's back there serving so that these instruments collectively sound together and there's balance that's taking place there. He's serving so that if this mic goes out and I grab this other one, I don't have to say anything. He just knows. There's this serving that takes place. Think about how that happens in your own life on a daily basis, the people who just have this ability to serve. I don't know what your spiritual gift is, but here's what I do know. A manifestation of the Spirit has been given to you, and you have a unique ability that's unique to you and your personality that ought to be used to bring strength to the body. It's the goal of the church. Then he gives us one final deal, and I want to work through that too. So if you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we've been flipping back and forth in these. We go to chapter 13. Here's what he speaks. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but don't have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. You know what we can have in the church a lot of times? Useless noise factories. They just make noise and do nothing. I got a bunch of toys that we give our, you know, grandbabies and everything. It's funny how when they're younger, you know, you got certain ones, you just push buttons and things happen. It doesn't do anything. It just sits there, but it makes noise and things spin and, you know, it looks like bell, woo, looks like a lot of fun, but there ain't nothing happening. Here's what he says happens in the church. You can do a lot of stuff. You can have a lot of activity going on. You can wax eloquent in the gift of tongues or the ability to speak and communicate to people, but if there's not a love from which that thing is birthed, from which that thing is bathed in, he says it's utterly useless. And then he goes on, he says this. And if I have faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. And in Romans 12, you're back there, he says this in verse 9. It's interesting that after the gifts, love always follows. And here's what he says. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, be willing to associate with people of low position, do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Don't take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. Now, as we look at that passage, and we see these two things come together, and here's what I think is important for this church to grab hold of. Everyone in this room has great value because the Spirit of living God is alive and well in you. God has shed His love in your heart, and it's paramount that we keep that love stretched and hot for each other, because it is through this love that we share with each other that the world takes notice. And then he says, now, the way this love is best demonstrated is through the Spirit that has given you an ability. and that you should use it. And really the homework and the point of this message today was to let you know you're very valuable to the body of Christ. You should maintain a lot of love and keep it stretched one for another. That means we have to be gracious people. We have to be forgiving people. We have to stretch, give and take. Love covers a multitude of sins. But then I have to be about my business of knowing, what is this gift that God's given to me? For me, and I've come to discover this in my own life over the course of my life, I have a gift of exhortation and encouragement. That's my gift. I can't help. You don't have to put me in front of people. If I see somebody down, I have to help them devise a plan so that they can get from here to here. It's just in me. I can't help but do that. And I didn't know it. It was the Spirit at first. I thought, well, I'm just cool that way. But I'm kidding. But what I realized was it's not. It comes so instinctively. And it comes from an area that I know is not me, that I know that's my gift. Now, someone said, oh, you got the gift of teaching. Well, not really. I have the gift of exhortation. Teaching is a vehicle in which I use to present it. But it's that gift. For some of you, it's a gift of service. For some, it's generosity. I don't know what your gift is, but here's what I would encourage you to do. You ought to pray about it, and you ought to figure it out. Because there's great value. And we need you in this place doing that. Would you stand with me? Let's pray together. Kevin, just play for us a little bit. We're just going to kind of just reflect a little bit. And if you want to light some candles back there and pray, that'd be great. And if you don't, Tony, his whole family has the flu. And so he said, hey, man, if you don't mind, I'm going to leave work. So I'm going to scoot out and go take care of my family. And I said, absolutely, that's exactly what you should. So we don't have any vocals, but we have the instruments, and we're just going to, I want to pray for us. And if you want to sit and listen, that'd be great. If you want to brave the weather and jump in your car and head out, if you want to grab some coffee, let's just be the body of Christ. Pray with me, and then let's just linger and enjoy our time together. Thank you.